Today's episode is brought to you by Slate House Publishing, recorded at Wayne Howard Studios.
Jeremy, I did some math, and I know that's always a dangerous thing, but I calculated if time passed in the movie theater at the same rate that time passes on the beach in M. Night Shyamalan's new movie Old, we would have lost approximately 3.5 years of our lives watching that movie. Which is kind of funny because I think that that math is actually accurate to how long that movie feels.
Yeah, I agree. Damn you, M. Night Shyamalan. I want my 3.5 years. I've already lost 10 years to the pandemic. It was another 3.5 years. I mean, I would have missed, like, my kids growing up. Like, totally.
I really wish that I had missed the portion of my life that I spent talking about and thinking about and watching Old. It was not a really great movie in a lot of senses. Especially, I think, visually, a weird movie.
Yeah, it's... He had some odd... And Shyamalan, Shyamalan, has, like, some weird camera shots anyway in his films. But this one, I get the whole, I'm going to shoot the camera from the guy getting cataracts as he gets older kind of perspective. But, like, the weird, like, look at this person's hip while they're talking for, like, 2 minutes. It was, like, really odd and threw me off. Like, pulled me out of the film way more than I wanted it to.
He does some really bizarre stuff. And he's done some weird stuff in previous movies, right? I think, for example, take Unbreakable, which was a comic book adaptation of a comic book that really doesn't even exist, right? And he films Unbreakable in a way that it seems like it's all just a whole bunch of static shots, and he's showing us what's going on from this one particular static angle, and all of the action takes place in almost the background or the foreground. It's really strange how he kind of sets up a film that tries to mimic what a comic book would look like. And then here we have an Old, almost the same sort of thing, because Old is actually an adaptation of a graphic novel. And even though the script might be written by M. Night Shyamalan, the idea for the movie comes from this graphic novel. And as a result, he films it in certain places as if we're looking at a comic book page and a whole bunch of dialogue going on out in the background somewhere.
Let's do that real quickly, too. Let's give credit where credit's due. So, written by M. Night Shyamalan, directed by M. Night Shyamalan, produced by M. Night Shyamalan, like, gaff by M. Night Shyamalan, mic by M. Night Shyamalan, catering by M. Night Shyamalan, like...
He has his hands all over every bit of this movie.
Starring M. Night Shyamalan?
I was not surprised to see M. Night Shyamalan just show up as one of the characters in the movie. He's been doing that for a while, but it felt especially kind of weird. It was like, can you just not... Did you run out of money to cast someone in this role of, like... person who just says numbers to people? I don't know why we have this star-studded cast of heavy hitters. I mean, Gael Garcia Bernal from Mexican cinema. He's got...
Say that again.
I could. He's got... who else is in this movie?
Dark City Guy?
Dark City Guy is in this movie. We should probably figure out his name.
Yeah.
I'm not... As much as
Rufus
I try
Sewell.
To be, I'm
Rufus
not...
Rufus Sewell.
A walking Sewell. IMDb. Rufus Sewell.
Yeah, I'm not either. Rufus Sewell was in it from Dark City. That's the only thing I know him from.
It's got the actress from Phantom Thread. She's from Luxembourg.
Yeah. It's got the...
It's got the young kid from Hereditary.
Oh, God, that movie. That'll be a totally different podcast.
Totally different podcast.
Yes. So, and it's got the girl from, the only thing I know her from is the blonde chick in Lovecraft Country.
Right. But these are not completely unknown actors, right? I mean, they have a lot of accolades. I mean, the leading man
them,
and the leading
sure.
lady,
yeah.
They have a lot of awards. This is not... M. Night Shyamalan has awards for movies.
Do we have time to go into that in this podcast? Like, why is so many awards?
I don't know why not.
None of them are for, like, the Airbender, the last Avatar, right? Or Avatar, the last Airbender, whatever
I
it was
really
called.
Hope they're not for that
okay.
movie.
Okay, because that was a terrible movie. That's an example of one of those bad movies.
I think that there are many examples of bad M. Night Shyamalan movies. Old not being
the
weirdest.
Of the, yeah.
Only the latest. No, but it's bizarre to me how he has so much talent and then casts himself in a movie. And I'm sorry, but that dude can't act. He is the most wooden of all of the actors in this movie, which is kind of hilarious because I think that as great a cast as he made, these actors just do not know what to do with this script.
Well, and that's something else. Like, I know he receives accolades for a lot of his films or for some of his films, but personally, if I were going by old just by itself, he can't write either. Like, this script is just terrible.
It is terrible. Here's what makes this script so bad, I think. We've talked a lot about horror. We're about to talk about a lot of horror on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to come up with a general definition of what is horror and what makes horror successful. And I think for me, what makes horror stand out is always going to be that human element. How does the human condition reflect, or how is it reflected in the horror or horrific situations we find our characters in, right?
Right.
So when we change the rules of something, let's say we have a slasher who's running around a sorority and murdering people, how then do we react to that particular instance? How do we react to that situation?
I want to see him get introspective. I want to see him sit down and say, wait a second, what am I doing with my life? And should I really be murdering these sorority girls? And if you say yes, then why? What have the sorority girls done for me to murder them?
Or perhaps we focus on the way in which maybe sorority culture should become more aware of its...
I'm joking.
But perhaps, you know, Greek life on the whole needs to reflect on its positions of privilege, right? Or the way in which they kind of conduct themselves, you know, kind of universally. If you act one way in a terrifying situation, but you act one way in a different situation, you know, how is that consistent with your character, or is there something that needs to change? I don't know. I'm not saying that we have to treat every sorority slasher like it's brilliant literature or brilliant cinema, but I do think that what horror needs to do oftentimes is try to dig deep into what is the human condition and how do we react to adversity or to adverse situations. And so in Old, M. Night Shyamalan gives us a new weird situation in which you sit on a beach and you age incredibly quickly. And as a vehicle for analyzing the human experience, I think that this could present something really interesting. It could be one of the best episodes of Twilight Zone that anyone has ever written. And yet, it ends up being the worst episode of Lost. It's just so unfocused. It's so miscast. It's so miswritten. It's bizarre.
So from my standpoint, I really like what you're saying about that. But the way I'm going to think about, I think, through the other episodes and through this episode also, is I'm looking at it from a standpoint of craft, right? Because that's what I am. I'm a writer. And so I'm really interested in how these authors and these directors and screenwriters make these choices craft-wise to get to that point. So how do they determine or define what horror is from a craft perspective? So the thing that I'm working off of is this basic principle between two ideas, plot-driven and character-driven. And so when I think about, like, plot-driven, most plot-driven stories or movies that I've seen have been total schlock. Like, I have not really enjoyed them. But to me, there's a difference, and I want to make this distinction between character-driven and character study. Because character studies in these films and in movies and stuff tend to be really slow. They're diving into the multiple layers of the characters. And so there isn't a lot of action to push that along, more it's internalized. Character-driven can still have a lot of action. What that means, though, is that the character is so really well-developed that the choices are honest to the character, and that's what drives the plot. And so, I don't think in old there was that great character development.
So I guess the real question is, I mean, yeah, do we think that characters like mid-sized sedan are well-written characters?
I can't believe that was the name of a rapper.
That was a real character in this movie.
Like, I'm not up on my hip-hop like Curtis has just cringed from that. I'm not up on like hip hop like culture nowadays. I mean, I remember days of like Bone Thugs and Harmony and Eazy-E, but
mid-sized sedan. It sounds like M. Night Shyamalan also doesn't know anything about hip-hop and was like, what would be a kind of generic hip-hop artist's name? Mid-sized sedan.
Mid-sized sedan is no longer as popular. Like, people are more, like, interested in SUV now.
I think he was just mad that his parents named his sister Prius. What a weird movie, and what a weird choice. I think you're right. A movie like this.
He's doing a concert tour with his country counterpart pickup truck.
Pickup truck.
now live in concert. Pickup truck in mid-sized sedan. Catch him at your latest drive-thru.
I think that, you know, you're right. When we talk about character in this movie, this is kind of a perfect example of a movie that should be either character-driven or, because it acts kind of as a bottle episode, right? We trap our protagonists on a beach and force them into some rapid aging. It should be something like a character study. This should be an opportunity for us to really get to know who are these characters, what are their motivations, what are they learning through this process. And I think Shyamalan pays some lip service to that idea with his two leading characters. However, I don't think that he does that very successfully, because his focus the entire time is not on the human element of how are they being impacted by this accelerated aging process, but instead on trying to answer the question of, well, why are they aging so quickly in the first place?
So let's address something really quickly before we dive into that, and that is this idea of, is there such a thing as... And I've got a couple of examples in mind of character-driven genre work. And so some books and movies that come to mind for me are, I think we both just finished reading this, Stephen Graham Jones' The Only Good Indians.
Absolutely.
Lots of action, lots of horror, character-driven. Stephen King's It, character-driven. The plot advances right by the choices by the characters, right, and they all make sense.
Star Wars. Yeah.
The original Star Wars, very character-driven.
Absolutely. A lot of Stephen King's work, I was going to say, is very character-driven. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just finished reading Pet Sematary not too long ago, and that was absolutely a very character-driven horror story. It can be done really, really effectively, really, really well.
And it makes the horror all the more palpable when you have strong characters that are making these decisions.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I don't think that Shyamalan keeps that perspective in this film. It's so plot-oriented. It's so driven by the mystery of what makes the beach such a weird place, and not by how are these characters interacting with each other through this process. How are these characters growing? Which is odd, because they're certainly aging, but not necessarily growing.
Like, I'm thinking of the actual dialogue from the film, and wasn't it like Rufus Sewell who's like, why do you keep spouting these statistics or numbers or something at us? And the main character, whose name is Guy, so that's easy to remember, and this guy says, I am an actuary. And like every fucking line of dialogue out of his mouth is like, 1 in 9 people will die on this beach. I mean, it's like, it's shut just, the fuck, that's all he is.
It's his whole personality.
It's a shtick. I mean,
it's weird to me too how these actors take this script and seemingly do nothing with it. Again, coming back to this strange idea for casting, we have a Mexican lead, leading man, we have a Luxembourgian leading woman, and then we have American kids. They're supposed to be a couple with American children.
And let's be clear, they're not just like, she's not from Luxembourg and speaks with like a slight European or British accent. And
it's
he's
a
not
very
thick
pronounced accent. And I'm not going to suggest that these families don't exist. I apologize if you're one of those families and we're casting doubt on your existence. What I'm saying is that it's such a bizarre casting for a movie. It's already a kind of a weird, eclectic cast of faces from a whole bunch of movies. But it's just strange to me that we would have this couple. It's like, where did these... They say something like they live in Vancouver, but I'm like, but where did you meet? Like,
but then they talk about living, like the kids talk about living in Philadelphia or something. Like,
yeah,
later on.
He's an actuary and she's a museum curator. Did they meet up on Tinder? Like, I don't understand.
Maybe the T-Rex fell on her and he came to assess the damage.
See, these are the kinds of things that I wanted in Night Shyamalan.
Well, not only this, but did you notice, like, the one little boy, he's like 6, and you're right, he has no discernible accent from either one of them at all. But then by the time he's 50, he's played by, like, a British or by an actor of some other, it's not an American actor. And his accent's coming through at 50 years old. So it's like this kid who has no accent, like, develops an accent when he's older?
Listen, I know why that happened. It was because of all of the new colors in their brains that they were talking about as they're aging.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this yet, that's actual, like,
that's actual explanation
from this, yeah.
From this, the characters as they begin aging suddenly start having new memories, but that doesn't make sense because that's not how memories work. And so as a result, they have to explain it in dialogue, like, I feel so many more things than I felt yesterday. And that's
right,
the explanation of the biological imperative before the 6-year-old who is now something like 16 or 18 ends up getting the little girl who is like 4 pregnant.
But now she's not 4 anymore.
She's 15.
She's 15, yes.
And she has her baby in the span of a half hour.
Yeah. And then, what is it, they forget to look at the baby for like 30 seconds?
And yeah,
and
the baby dies of lack of attention, which I didn't know that was a cause of death.
Tonight, Shyamalan, let's do us a favor really quickly. We like your movies when you don't necessarily offer up a lot of explanations, so this movie just proved, don't try the science. Science is not your bag, man. Just leave it alone.
I think that this is a good writing tip for anyone who's looking to write some kind of a supernatural thriller, though, right? Remember that what's interesting about your story isn't necessarily the explanation of the supernatural. I think when we go into a movie like Old, we don't necessarily look at M. Night Shyamalan to say, I need you to justify your beach, sir. I think instead we can kind of accept that the beach exists and we don't really care about why it does what it does. I'm not interested in knowing why it does what it does. I'm interested in seeing how the characters react to what's happening to them and what they learn along the way. I also just don't want to go watch a movie where people stare at each other with the weirdest faces I've ever seen. And it seems like, again, that doesn't necessarily serve a purpose to the movie except to show off whatever CGI or whatever makeup they're having these characters wear.
There wasn't a lot of privacy. I mean, there's a very good chance some of them had to go to the bathroom.
On the beach?
You can't, though, with all those people there. I mean,
I wonder what a 30-year-old shit would look like.
Like those kids ate pretty fast, and they never did, like...
They never defecated.
Yeah.
Not once in the whole movie. And that movie was 108 minutes long.
Yeah. And we determined that that's 3.5 years.
That's 3.5 years.
Yeah. And they aged, like, 46 years, 44 years. Like, the one boy aged 44 years.
They were in their 50s.
Yeah. So that's a 50-year-old shit. I mean, I'm thinking that's probably, like, calcified or something. That would hurt. You need stitches after that.
My goodness.
I don't know. But, I mean, yeah, the kid, I mean... So what else? Do we want to spoil anything else for anybody who might be listening to this first pilot podcast?
I feel like we've spoiled this whole movie. Here's a spoiler. Mm-hmm. Don't go see this movie.
I mean, what was it you said, like the girl, like after the girl dies, it's like, you know, poor kid. Like,
poor kid. He loses his high school sweetheart and his child in the same day.
Yeah, and I said that's especially rough for a 6-year-old. I don't know if the people around us, like, enjoyed our banter throughout the film.
I don't know how anybody around us enjoyed the movie.
At least nobody harpooned a shark in the eye and, like, flew out of the water with it when it breached.
They were this close.
Meg, sorry. That was... I hope that came across on the mic okay. Jason Statham. Damn you.
Jason Statham. Well, this won't be the last bad movie I'm sure we'll see. I'm sure this won't be the last bad movie that M. Night Shyamalan makes.
I hope not. I mean, we got to have some kind of fodder for our up-and-coming podcast.
Just keeping that content rolling for us. Keeping that content.
So we're actually Slay House Publishing, and our goal is to... We're out of Northwest Arkansas, and our goal is to publish about 4 to 5 books a year to start. So we have our first book out. It's called A Mindful of Scorpions, and it's on our website. The links to it are on our website, as well as takes you to Barnes & Noble and Amazon. So if you have a preference from who you order, then it's there. It's available to all major bookstores. It's just a matter of if they're going to carry it. Our next book is planned to be an anthology of classic genre tales, because our publishing house is going to focus on science fiction, fantasy, horror, mysteries, and thrillers. And so I think our classic anthology is a good mix of this. That should be out later this year. We're also going to have a collection of short stories from up-and-coming writers, and then maybe a second novel coming out in the spring. And that's kind of our publishing plan. But we wanted to do this podcast to kind of keep our audience on thinking about us pretty regularly. Regularly. There we go. We can edit that, I guess. And so in our podcast, Trevor and I want to sit down and talk about stories and books, especially those related to the genres that we're interested in publishing. And we're also going to do some kind of unscripted, this was obviously unscripted, episodes where we try and review movies and kind of pepper those throughout the rest of the season. So this first season, we've got quite a few authors, right, Trevor?
We do. We have about 12 authors, I think, from all over the place. We are starting off with conversations about horror greats like Shirley Jackson and H.P. Lovecraft and Joe Hill, as well as some lesser known. We'll get to that. We'll also talk about some lesser known horror greats, I think, like Horacio Quiroga. Or who else was on our list?
I knew you were going to ask me, and I forgot to get a list pulled up on it. Who else is on our list?
It's not important.
No, it isn't. We have a lot of people. We have all the good lists.
Our approach is to try to bring it some kind of an entertaining conversation about some of the best horror literature and eventually some of the best genre literature in general, and talk about what makes it successful, what makes it interesting, and why you should read these things. Both Jeremy and I come from a cultural criticism background. Jeremy, you have an MFA in creative writing. I have a master's degree in Spanish literature, as well as most of a PhD in comparative literature and cultural studies. I say most of a PhD. I don't think I'll ever finish it, but I have all of that training, and I have nothing to do with it. I gave it the old, the old, graduate school try. I did 3 rounds. That's how masochistic I am.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be doing this. We've got a Patreon set up. We're going to do a Kickstarter for our particular projects, for our particular printed projects. That'll be released here within a few weeks. We're going to start the podcast pretty regularly in September with fresh content, probably a new episode about every 2 weeks, I think, and then peppered through that whenever a new movie comes out that might be up our alley. We might just sit down and shoot out a quick episode to help, you know, kind of review and talk about that movie and let you all know if it's worth going to see or not. And we'll keep you informed. We also have a Patreon to go along with our podcast, because everything costs money. And we really want you, hope you don't mind supporting us if you like what you hear. I'll be very upfront and transparent as to where the money goes to. So this week, if you decide to support our Patreon, it will go to my my socks. I have 2 socks right now, and my I have 2 socks right now. One of them has a big hole in it. So if you decide to support our Patreon this week, I will buy whatever I need to buy to put a hole in the other sock so that they match.
It's very distracting. You definitely need a new set of recording socks.
I do. They're also my church socks. I love puns. They're my church. Well, one of them's my church sock
because
it's holy.
Special thanks today for... No, what am I saying?
Extremely special.
Extremely special thanks today to Curtis Steen and Les Eason for lending their studio and letting us record here. We'll see you next time.